And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Depression, anxiety, and stress seem to be everywhere, especially as Americans deal with financial difficulties and a hectic work and life schedule. Are there ways to change the way we think and feel, though, without what seems to be the only solution nowadays, using medication? To talk about that, I'm joined by neuropsychologist Dr. Rick Hansen. He's the author of the new book, Just One Thing, Developing a Buddha Brain, One Simple Practice at a Time. Welcome to the program, Rick.
Great. Pleasure to be here.
Now, when you consider the reason why we see such an epidemic of depression and anxiety in the U.S., what do you view as the primary reason so many people are suffering?
I think it's several things. One, times are difficult and challenging for many people. Two, there's been a wide breakdown of social support. You know, the village it takes to raise a child, for example, often looks more like a ghost town, you know, so that's another one. And then three, boy, people are stressed. They're working really, really hard. I would say those are external factors. Internally, a lot of people, frankly, don't know how to work with their own mind. You know, they're very skillful, directed externally at, you know, making great pancakes or running a department at work, but they don't know how to. They just don't have the skills, you know, for dealing with their own thoughts and feelings and emotional reactions, which can then lead to anxiety and depression. So one thing that interests me, you know, is kind of that good old-fashioned virtue, if you will, of rolling up your sleeves and getting better at things, so that you can, make the world a better place.
When we talk about emotions and just the general mental health of people, we hear a lot about brain chemistry nowadays. When it comes to finding peace of mind, and I know your book focuses on that general principle, what can be done other than these commercially driven ideas of medicating the brain to make a person feel better?
Oh, I think it's a great question. So in the book itself, it has all these little down-to-earth practices, little attitudes or perspectives or little actions people can take privately inside their own mind for less than a few minutes a day probably that neuroscience has shown will lead to good result. And all you need is just one thing. You know, if you just find that one thing that works for you, someone reminded me recently of the idea from City Slickers, you know, that movie. If you just find that one thing, you're good to go. What research is showing, though, is that you really can change your brain. You really are changing your brain. For example, people that routinely practice mindfulness, you know, and they get some kind of distance from their reactions, they build up parts of the brain that are involved in self-awareness or controlling attention. Or other people, different studies have shown, if you just kind of note what you're feeling, you give it a word, you know, irritated, frazzled, hurt, nervous, whatever. If you just label it, that activates the prefrontal cortex right behind your forehead, and it calms down the alarm bell of the brain in the amygdala. That's pretty good, that people can have an effect on their brain that actually will gradually build new structure over time. To me, that's very motivating, and it's grounded in science.
When another approach that everyone certainly has heard about is meditation, I think it's something that personally I've tried to find it incredibly difficult to even sit still for 5-10 minutes without at least watching something on television or maybe reading a book. So what is your sense of meditation? Is that the type of practice you think is key for developing a peace of mind?
I think it's one of many keys, you know, and it's what's great is for people to try different things. And if they are going to do any kind of contemplative practice, which includes prayer as a kind of meditation, whatever they're going to do, find what works for you. So if a person has, you know, as many do, a hard time sitting still for more than a few minutes, you know, do a walking meditation where you're just kind of walking back and forth at a mellow pace. Maybe have each breath be, cycle through each, complete step. And, do it that way. That's perfectly fine. The larger point, I think, is that even without drugs, without medication, there's a ton of very solid research that shows that people can take little actions inside their own mind that will gradually change their brain and thus their life for the better over time. You know, it's funny. If drug companies could patent meditation, just to use one example, one of the many practices in my book, if they could patent it and make a profit on it, we'd be seeing ads all day long, you know, people sitting in a Lotus or what have you, rather than taking Prozac.
I'm talking to neuropsychologist Dr. Rick Hansen, author of the new book, Just One Thing, Developing a Buddha Brain, One Simple Practice at a Time. Dr. Hansen, how difficult is it to change patterns of thinking and feeling that sometimes are in place for years or even decades?
The ones that are in place for a long time can be difficult, especially if they were learned in early childhood and especially if they have a lot of emotional charge. You know, the brain learns. You know, I have, in addition to having a background in business and also raising a family, you know, I'm a therapist, and I routinely will have people who are embarrassed because they're still a, you know, they're still triggered. They can be triggered by things that go back 30 years. But I say to them, look, your brain is designed. It's especially designed to overlearn from negative experiences. There's a kind of negativity bias in the brain. So to me, as a practical problem, it's like, well, what you have to do then is you got to work at it, you know. I see people routinely who work real hard at things they'll tell you don't matter much, but they won't work very hard at things they say do matter a lot. And one of them is feeling better over time. So if you do have long-standing tendencies, you know, that are deep, well, darn. You know, it's kind of like if you have more weight to lose, you got to run more miles and, you know, sweat more pounds and take longer with your diet, whatever. You know, if you've got deep issues to work with, you know, take the time and give yourself the help to work with them. But be confident that many scientific papers have shown that if people do the work with some basic skillfulness with their own, you know, mind, they will truly change it over time. And more we're getting the neuroimaging studies that demonstrate in the brain the changes that occur that map to the changes that people are having in their mood, their confidence, their outlook, their sense of worth, you know, their ability to function at home and life.
Finally, the explosion in the use of antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications by those who have far less than severe symptoms from what appears to be far less than severe symptoms many times. Do you view long-term use of these kinds of medications as having some questionable or negative effects on the brain?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I'm a pragmatist about this. I think some people are zealots on the side of writing prescriptions. Studies have shown that the average general practitioner or physician will write a script, a prescription for an antidepressant within 6 minutes of a visit. So, you know, the people on that side. On the other hand, there are people that are really against it. They're super holistic. They think medications are evil, what have you. I'm in the middle. I've seen it be helpful for some people. That said, the research shows that probably at least a third of people who try antidepressants either don't get anything or the side effects are really not pleasant. Research also shows that probably the best combination is antidepressants with some kind of therapy, because antidepressants don't help you learn anything particularly. Maybe you learn things when you're not so depressed, but they themselves will not teach you anything, whereas counseling or related practices actually teach you things. And research has shown that in many cases, you know, exercise or some kind of psychological growth alone are as effective, if not more effective, than antidepressants. It's just that you can't patent psychotherapy and make a bundle, you know, selling it. So, you know, if you watch TV, it looks like antidepressants are the only solution for depression. But, gosh, research shows that usually they're not necessary, that very often what would help people is counseling. On the other hand, sometimes the truth is people don't have the bandwidth for counseling, or they can't afford it, or there's a stigma in their mind, and you know, they can take that pill and they can feel better, not perfect maybe, but better, and that's what they do. And, you know, and I'm not going to criticize that kind of choice. That's a personal choice.
And ultimately, you're saying the good news is the brain itself is built to recover from trauma and from bad experiences, and oftentimes with the simplest things, a person can actually find a peace of mind.
Yeah, you know, it's stunning. It's routinely stunning the big effect of little things. If people just do those little things, you know, a handful of times each day, I'm not going to say that it's going to cure PTSD from, you know, Afghanistan or something, but it can gradually, certainly within a few days and weeks, and definitely within a few months, those inner practices will gradually really change the way you experience living, the way you see things, and how you feel about yourself. And that makes us more able to deal with the tough times that we're facing these days.
Neuropsychologist Dr. Rick Hansen, author of the new book, Just One Thing, Developing a Buddha Brain, One Simple Practice at a Time. Thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much, Michael. This was really great. Take care.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.